were written over 3,500 years prior to the coming of Jesus, and they were still in effect at that time?
Well, you could if her mother was on that level where she could grasp that. I don't know that she could. See, yeah, John. Not really, because nobody agrees on what it meant today. Why they try to take your guns away from you. I don't think that's a good place to go. We're getting our first and second, third, fourth, fifth amendment rights ran all over the place. They don't even agree on that. No, the bottom line is, you can't really take a secular thing and try to compare it to the Bible. Now, your deal was great about the Moses, but I don't know that she can handle that, see? I don't know if she'd get on that level.
What did you say?
Huh? Say it again, Kyle.
The fact that at the time of the birth of Christ, the books of Moses were written and the law was written over 3,500 years prior, yet it was still in effect at that time. And we're only...
And that's a really good concept. It depends on the spiritual level of the person you're trying to get it to. Because what he's saying is absolutely true. But you're going to find out every situation is different. There ain't no set way to do it. Her mother will be different than the next person, than your mother or my mother, or forget my mother. But it'll never be never work it out. All right, Joe. No, don't wait till next week. You got your new chart. I want to hear all about it. Go ahead. If I don't have time, I'll tell you.
I really don't want a demonstration from you if it requires one. But the definition of a holy kiss in the Bible, greet each other with a holy kiss. And then if there's a definition of a holy kiss, is there an unholy kiss?
Well, come on back to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's find it out. I'll give you the short version of this. This is a good question. Come back to Ecclesiastes. Now, his question is, so you all know, first thing he said was he does not want a demonstration, which hurt my feelings. All right, come over here to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, he wants to know what a holy kiss is, and then if there is a holy kiss, is there an unholy kiss? I'll give you the two aspects of it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. That was just planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. By the way, these are all found in the Bible if you want to dig them up sometime. A time to kill and a time to heal and a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace. Ah, there it is. In the new translation, that word embrace is changed into lock lips. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. So now his question has to do with a holy kiss and an unholy kiss. Now give me the verse over there. You obviously got it where it says greet each other with a holy kiss. Is that where it's at? All right, good deal. Thank you. Who said that? Who had that? First what?
26.
First Thessalonians? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, a holy kiss in the Bible would be a kiss on the cheek or somewhere other than the lips. Now, from a doctrinal standpoint, let me give you this. And I'm just going to give you the short version here. You can look it up on your own. In the Old Testament, it talks about two types of kissing. It talks about somebody kissing the Son, which is God, and somebody kissing Baal. So in the doctrinal aspect, the kissing of the Son would be the salvation of Israel, because that's what it's a reference to. I guess you can make a spiritual application to your soul. The day you got saved, God kissed your soul. Kissing the Bible is always has to deal with sealing something. So when people who are in love want to seal that love, they kiss. When Judas wanted to seal the concept that he betrayed Christ, he kissed him. See? And in the Old Testament, when they wanted to seal their relationship with Baal, they kissed him. You find that all the way through in what you do. The Muslims in Mecca, they kiss the black stone, and we talk about the Irish kissing the blarding stone. Kissing stones has always been a big deal with pagan religions because it all goes back to kissing the image of Baal. Israel's told to kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Somebody find that verse for me. Where is it, Daniel? Psalms 2? All right, good. Good man. Now, this has to do with the millennium here in Psalms 2. All right, look at Psalms 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those that put their trust in him. Now, this whole thing of Psalms 2 is a millennial passage. Look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, second coming. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heaven, there is God the Father, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them for his sword his pleasure. And verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There starts the millennium. See that thing? First five verses are second coming. Six on is millennium. He's on the holy hill in Zion. That's Jerusalem. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, on down through here, and the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, Zechariah 14:16 there. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. See, that's a millennial verse. That's somebody in the millennium coming into Jerusalem, like we talked about in Zechariah chapter 11, and paying homage to the Lord. And they've been kissing Baal all down through the Old Testament. Now the reference is to kiss the Son. So a holy kiss would be here, an unholy kiss doctrinally would be Baal. Okay? Now, a holy kiss in the church is the kiss of the brethren, on the cheek, on the forehead, whatever the case may be. Any kiss from an unsaved person. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're saved and you have a girlfriend and you kiss her on the mouth hard, that means that that's an unholy kiss. See? Depends on how good a kisser she is if you really want to know the truth. Man, that was unholy. You know? Man, she bit my lip. You know? But anybody unsaved. You see, the holy kiss to the church is a representation of what we have in Christ. You'll find that dancing is another thing along those lines. You'll find that in the Bible, dancing, when you find it, is never mixed couples. It's always women with women because of the fact of what it represents. The kiss in the church is a representation of what we have in Christ. It's a holy kiss. It's not a kiss of an endearment because we're friends. It's a kiss because of the fact that God has kissed our soul with the word of God and we're brethren. See, and I think it was a place in there, Daniel, my walking concordance, you find it, is a place, kind of a place, Daniel says, I think it says, something about kiss the women with, you kiss the younger women or treat the, no, it doesn't say that. It says, entreat the younger women as sisters. That's what it says. Yeah, that's what it says. And of course, yes, ma'am. Well, I don't know why he's. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would definitely be an unholy kiss in that particular situation, because the Old Testament Baal worship in the Old Testament is the Roman Catholicism of the New Testament. You can go back to the book of Judges and you'll find that the Baalite priests, go back to Judges 17 and 18, you'll find that the Old Testament Baalite priests, they were called fathers. They wore a special suit of clothes. They were over a house of statues or gods, and all the people came in. When you take it a little bit farther, you'll find that these same Baalite priests, the main service that they had was on Sunday at 12 o'clock noon, which is the highest part of the sun. The sun day, our day, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're all gods of the Roman Empire, the Greeks. Sunday is the day that the Baalite priests in the Old Testament had their high service, because that was the day they attributed to the sun god, which was Baal. It comes into our world as Sunday. So the high mass of the Roman Catholic Church is on Sunday at noon, or it was for years. I don't know if it is now or not. But so when he's doing all that, he's doing that in the concept of what it's not supposed to be. When it talks about the brethren greeting over the holy kiss, it's in a sense of a non-sexual, non-passionate, non-suggestive way of just conveying that we're all in the body of Christ together, brother and sister. Now, as I said earlier, that doesn't mean if you're saved and you're dating somebody that, you know, you have to kiss them on the cheek, you know, till you're married. In some of your cases, it probably would be a good idea, but it doesn't have to go that way. And so it's a situation where any kiss outside of Christ would be unholy in a practical sense. Doctrinally, it has to do with the Baal and the millennium. Yeah, that's a very good question. All right. Let me say it one more time. If you have not signed up yet for the New Year's Eve deal, make sure you do it tonight. If you get beside the wayside and something happens Sunday, you don't make it.
And the list goes on. And I could stand up here all day long and tell you the great things God's done for me. But I want to leave you with a verse that I have talked about and told people about. And that's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. I want to leave you with that, because remembering that Jesus Christ died on the cross allows you to get to heaven and allows you to have the wonderful things that God has given me. And I hide in my heart that it's a gift. It's something that you get, and he can't take it away from you, no matter what you do in your life. And I'm not perfect, and I've got things that I have to take care of in my life, but I certainly know I thank the Lord every day for that gift, because I don't know where I'd be without it. And if there's any advice I can give you, I don't know where your all's hearts are. You know, I know some of you may have things you need to work on, or you know. I don't know if you're right with God, but you know if you're right with God. And if you're not right with God, don't wait until you have absolutely nothing in your life like I did. I mean, he had to strip everything away from me to show me that I can't live without him. And you don't have to wait that long. And you don't have to be that stubborn-headed. And believe me, it's a struggle every day, but it's the best struggle of my life. And I just thank the Lord for it. And I thank Pam and Angela, my two sisters in Christ, and there's lots more than that, but they're the ones that discipled me. And I thank Bob for all the truth that he's given me over the last year and has provided me the things that my father hasn't been able to. And I just thank all those people in this church that have just hugged me and loved me and appreciated me for everything that I am. I thank Liz and Kyle for giving me the opportunity to live with them and get right with God. And I just hope that if you aren't right with God, you make that something that you can do this year. And if you need help, there's so many people in this church that would be willing to help you. Amen. Thank you.
You do your part, God will always do his. And that's really the issue. Here we are, New Year's. Make sure this next year becomes the year of the Bible in your life. You know, and one last thing, and Teresa said this about the guy that at the fitness center that gave me that money. That man was an unsaved man. Wow. He's probably, maybe early 80s, late 70s. Just had a stroke. Comes up and just hobbles around the place. His name is Dennis. And I recognized when he called me over that morning, I appreciated, and I had been praying for Teresa. I mean, it was the weirdest thing in the world. And it's a true story. He called me over. I mean, I had seen him there before, but I had never really talked with him. We'd joke and, you know, and he'd say something, but we never really had a conversation. So he called me over and he says, are you a preacher? And I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. And he said, "You got what kind of people you got in the church?" And I said, they're just good, common people that love the Lord. And he says, I like to help people. He says, you got anybody in there that needs some help? And I said, yeah, I do. And he pulled out a wad of $100 bills. Must have been that big around, you know. Dennis is my new best friend, by the way. Hi, Dennis. I took the money from him, and I looked at him, and I said, Dennis, I said, I really appreciate this. I got a lady that this is going to go to. And I said, but I want to tell you something, Dennis. I said, I know you had a stroke, and I said, I know your health's not very good. I said, Dennis, you know that giving this money is not going to help you with your salvation. I couldn't take the money knowing that he was lost without telling him that it wasn't going to do him any good when it came to God. Just couldn't do that. And I witnessed to him right there, and I told him, I said, Dennis, I said, God died for you on the cross. He said, well, I get down and pray every day on my knees. I said, you only got to get down and ask him to save you one time, Dennis. And I went through the whole thing. In fact, the next day I went back, I brought him one of those little books that had all the promises in it because that he could go through. And, and pray for Dennis. You know, he didn't get saved. I didn't know, expect him to. But I wanted him to know that I appreciate what he did. But I want him to know it didn't cut anything with God as far as eternity is concerned. That it wasn't about what you give or how many people you help. It's about that God's son. I said, and I told him this. I said, you know what? You made this woman's day by giving her a great gift. And I said, put it in this context, Dennis. God gave you a great gift. His son died on the cross. And just as you gave this money to her, he wants to give his salvation to you. And I say the two are similar, but they're not the same. And he looked at me and he said, I understand that. And, you know, pray for him. And I don't think he's got long left. He's a very elderly gentleman, great guy, but he needs to be saved. So that was great today. I just couldn't add anything to that. I just appreciate everything everybody said. And, you know, tomorrow will be a very busy day. We got to get ready for tomorrow night, and we're dismissed here. Please take the time to get done what you need to get done. Jamie, you'll be over here. You need to take care of all of that. Yeah, come on up here, Jamie. Thank you. You need to take care of the Tanny's in the back. We need to take care of the of that stuff. And now, you always got rebels in the crowd. I love them. Well, we have one person who wants to study the book of Hezekiah. Love, gotta love them. Wherever you got light, you got bugs. I just want you to know that. One person wants to study the book of Revelation. These two were not on the list, but that's okay. I wouldn't mind doing Hezekiah myself, though, I gotta be honest with you. We got 9 that want to do 2 Corinthians, and we have 67 that want to do Romans. So. Romans it is. And then after we do Romans, we'll do 2 Corinthians or Hezekiah, one of those two. Okay? I love you. Don't let. Take what was said today. Take everything that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. Don't let next year be like last year. I'll help you whatever I can do. I'll do whatever it takes. But it takes, God will always do his part. I'll always do my part. That's my job. You have to do your part. And it starts many times with a good house cleaning. So, you know, you need to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. And I'll help you any way I can. Okay, Jamie will be over here. Take the time to do that. Listen, if you're not on that list and you don't make some kind of your name going off the list, if you sign people up and you say, I got 96 people coming, you are responsible for 96 people to pay for them tomorrow. So, you know, do care of it. Also, volleyball in the back and then all the nursery people up here. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll see you all tomorrow night at 5:30. Bring your Bibles. We're going to have some fun. I am so excited. You are going to love, absolutely love, the special thing that we're going to do that I can't tell you about, but it's going to be fun. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise.